look in the mirror. You see a human face, human limbs, and your brain just accepts it as a baseline fact of physics. But looking at the stack of sociological research and psychiatric case studies you brought us today, I mean, there are documented instances of people who look in that exact same mirror and feel this terrifying visceral disconnect.
Yeah, they genuinely believe, or at least deeply feel, that they are animals. And our mission for this deep dive is to map the incredibly sharp dividing line between what is, you know, a benign modern identity movement and what constitutes a severe psychiatric emergency.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I think mainstream society usually dismisses anyone identifying as an animal as just being, you know, kind of goofy in the head. But looking at the sources, there is some deeply complex neurology happening here.
Oh, absolutely. To really understand it, we have to start with the alter-human umbrella, specifically a concept called therianthropy.
Right, the people who identify psychologically or, like, spiritually as a non-human animal.
Exactly. But here is the absolute critical baseline for this group. These individuals retain full conscious awareness that their physical body is human.
Wait, okay. So they know they have human biology, but the literature talks about them experiencing these things called phantom shifts. It says they actually feel the physical sensation of having wings or like a tail or scales.
Yeah, it sounds contradictory, but they really do feel it.
So how is that possible if they know they are human? Is the phantom shift basically functioning like phantom limb syndrome, but for body parts you never actually possessed?
What's fascinating here is that the clinical research backs up that exact analogy. It operates on a very similar somatosensory level. Basically, the brain's system for mapping the physical body is sending nerve signals for limbs that just aren't there.
Wow. And when that internal sensation clashes with their actual human body, that causes what the literature calls species dysphoria, right? Like severe distress over their human biology.
Right, exactly. But I know you were totally surprised to read that this isn't considered a mental illness in the DSM-5.
Yeah. I mean, I would have assumed doctors would immediately categorize that as a full-blown delusion.
You might think so. But psychological research shows it often functions as a highly effective coping mechanism, especially for neurodivergent folks. It's a way for them to integrate the Jungian shadow.
The Jungian shadow. So, like, the untamed, instinctual parts of our personality that modern society tells us to repress.
Precisely. By adopting an animal identity, they create a safe framework to express those repressed instincts. Plus, they often find a highly supportive community in the process.
So as long as their reality testing remains intact, as long as they know they are physically human, it's harmless, maybe even helpful.
Yes, exactly.
But here's where it gets really interesting, because obviously reality testing can fail. What actually happens in the brain when that mechanism shatters? Like, how does a person cross the line into genuinely believing they are physically transforming into a beast?
Well, that crosses the threshold into clinical lycanthropy. The medical literature explains this through a two-hit model.
Okay, so two things go wrong.
Right, two distinct brain systems completely fail. The first hit is a severe sensory hallucination. The areas processing physical touch misfire so violently that the patient literally feels the physical extrusion of fangs or their bones restructuring.
That sounds agonizing. So they aren't just imagining it. Their brain is feeding them real pain. But why doesn't the logical part of the brain step in and say, hey, humans don't grow fangs?
Because that's the second hit. There's a total failure in the cognitive belief evaluation center. That's the system responsible for fact-checking our experiences.
Oh, I see. So the brain can't logic its way out of the hallucination.
Exactly. To explain these terrifying physical sensations, it constructs a fixed delusion. The transformation becomes an undeniable physical reality.
This reminds me of that historical case from the notes, the one from 1603, about a teenager named Jean Grenier. How does an old case like that connect to this modern two-hit model?
Well, Grenier actually committed cannibalism because he fully believed he was a werewolf.
Uh-huh.
But interestingly, early physicians spared him from the stake because they recognized his state as melancholy.
Melancholy, which was basically their primitive term for a psychiatric emergency, right?
Right. And this isn't just ancient history either. Like, the sources highlight a 2024 case of a schizophrenic patient who held a dual delusion of being a dog and a vampire.
A dog and a vampire. And he actively craved human blood, didn't he?
Yes, because the delusion effectively strips away human social conditioning. It leaves the patient to act on the primal, predatory violence of the beast they believe they're becoming.
So what does this all mean? For you listening, this deep dive really reveals the immense power and the terrifying vulnerability of how human identity is constructed.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it emphasizes a crucial clinical tightrope. Mental health professionals have to avoid pathologizing harmless subcultures who use animal identity to cope and thrive.
Right, the alter-human community.
Exactly. But at the same time, they must be hypervigilant to properly manage those dangerous, reality-breaking misidentifications.
It all comes back to that mirror we talked about at the beginning. Because if a microscopic glitch in your parietal lobe, you know, the part of the brain mapping exactly where your body parts are in space, can genuinely convince your mind that you are sprouting claws and fangs.
That's terrifying to think about.
It really is. How much of your everyday normal physical reality is just a fragile illusion constructed by your brain?